Casey's, it's all right.
It's all good at Casey's General Stores. Right now, get any large bacon cheeseburger, barbecue beef, vegetable, meat galore, supreme, or taco pizza for only $13.99. Not valid with any other offer.
Casey's General Store. Casey's, it's all good.
Straight Talk 1400, 733. It is 45 degrees here at KJFF. I'd like to welcome to the program Jack Ginever, and he is the president of C4 and has been waist-deep in this whole issue in Crystal City concerning a lead production facility. Iron ore production facility, or I was trying to not to say smelter because I was thinking of
okay with me,
iron ore smelter, or however you want to say it. It has nothing to do with lead. How are you, Jack?
Oh, thanks, Matt. I'd like to say, first of all, thanks for having me here. Our organization started off with the objective of getting the information out to the people, and
right.
And venues like this, we just really would like to get to, and I appreciate the fact that we're here now after all this time.
Well, I had an official in from Crystal City, and we talked about some stuff. You have heard that interview, and you said, you know what, Matt, there's more to it than what you were able to present, so let me ask you some questions, if that's all right.
Have at it.
All right. No public input was on one of your trust issues, number 7, that went out in the Leader, and you know, there are flyers that go out in the Leader for those residents of Crystal City. You could say initially there was no input, but we've had meeting after meeting after meeting after meeting, and the radio station has tried to cover a lot of them. We couldn't cover all of them, but it seems kind of a stretch to say there's been no public input.
The trust issues, by the way, there's going to be one coming out in the Leader today, so look for that in your paper. But that particular one that Dave Kozol and you talked about that day was in trust issue number 7, and that was prior to any public hearings for this conditional use permit.
Okay.
And at that time, it was true. Now, I will contest that there's been some public input, but definitely not enough. We had three situations where we were allowed to speak, and each time that we were allowed to speak, it was limited to a certain amount of time. The first two times, it was 5 minutes apiece, and the last time, it was 10 minutes. And the last time, I didn't even know the rules of how long people could speak until I showed up at the hearing. that's the truth.
Oh, well, that seems a little ridiculous. I'll give you that. Let's talk about the company itself, Wings Enterprises. You brought up questioning research of the company, the financing of the company. Is that really important? Here's a company showing up at your doorstep and wants to put a business in within the city limits. That's a good thing. How much research is incumbent on the city officials?
Well, first of all, we're not against industry. Let's get that off the table right now. We want jobs in this town. If it has to be industry, it can be industry. That was a brownfield before. Industry would be okay for that. You can put commercial there as well. But Wings, and why is the finances important? Because it's really not Wings money that is being used to finance this whole operation. In fact, not even to buy, my suspicion, strong suspicion, is not even to buy the property. We all know it's a kind of a complicated real estate transaction. Wings actually has a 100-year lease, and Crystal City owns the property, but Wings paid for it all.
They paid the 100-year lease payments all at once. They paid it up front. Is that right?
Yes.
All right.
For the first 100 years.
For the first 100 years.
In the lease, they have options for the next 10 years, 100 years.
Okay, definitely. Whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it is complicated in that sense because it's not someone sending the payment into the city or anything like that.
Yeah, but the point is that somebody else is financing that. And at the very beginning, we found out, not through the city, not through Wings, but through our own research into real estate records, that it was Min Metals, a wholly owned Chinese company. And if you're a Chinese company, you're owned by the Chinese government. And we really didn't have a problem with the Chinese people as much as we did that they would own resources in the United States. They owned the iron ore in Jim Kennedy's mine. They would possibly own a barge port in the Mississippi. And that's really got to do with the sovereignty of the United States. People up in Canada China's coming in and buying so much of their stuff that they're starting to revolt against that and saying there's more China here than there is Canada anymore. So that's the point.
Yeah, all right, I get all that. But they've pulled out.
We think. We don't know. The only thing that we know is that Jim Kennedy said in a Wall Street Journal article is that they backed out.
Okay.
We don't have any proof of that. And now there's a new agreement that was signed about 2 or 3 months ago by the city, and they refuse to tell us who's behind it.
Well, they don't want members of your group calling, you know, banks in Austria or something and asking questions.
Is that really reasonable to expect? I mean, I'm not going to call a bank in Austria and say, you got to pull out. Come on.
I don't know.
That's what Jim Kennedy said, so that's why I'm asking you.
Does that sound like you? No, not really. All right. Well, you kind of brought it. You talked about the land, and the PG land was, as you said, originally industry. It's a brownfield site. There can only be industry on it. So, I mean, it seems like a perfect match, right?
Well, it's good for industry. I mean,
you can't have a child daycare center on that, which would be, you know, really cute and all that other kind of stuff.
Right. The point is that there's all sorts of industry. And if you look at the spectrum of what's good and what's bad, what's good for people to be around and what's not good for people to be around, iron ore processing, steel industry is on the end of the spectrum, is dirty and not good for people, especially in the close vicinity of people. It's the stuff that goes into it and the stuff that goes out of it is just a lot of pollution, a lot of dirt, a lot of dust.
Yeah, but you can't think of a Bethlehem Steel built in the 1930s or whatever and compare it to what's going to end up.
Absolutely not. You're right. This is new. This is, I've said jokingly from the very beginning, this is not your father's smelter. I work in the computer industry, and somebody said one time, you got to look at the goes intas and the goes outs, and all the things that go in and all the things that go out are bad. I mean, it's coal, coke, iron, and what goes out is a whole bunch of byproducts that had to be around.
There won't be any coal, though, right?
Coal and coke, they're both carbon sources. Any carbon source that I know of is dirty.
All right. And there's been talk about that. In one of these letters you've talked about, and I don't remember which one it was, but you took credit for a bunch of the individual items that...
It's this Truth and Openness one.
Yeah, Truth and Openness is what it's called. You took credit, or C4 did, for getting a lot of different things into the conditional use permit. You know, things like lighting requirements, the stacks, how tall they could be, even though there's not planning to be any stacks. They talked about this, you know, in the P&Z meeting when the original presentation, they talked about how little noise there would be. So, I mean, a lot of these things were planned in the first place, right?
Some of those were. They talked about the low lighting things and the LEED initiatives and stuff. So, yeah, those were in the beginning plans. But our group really dates back to the very beginning of this when we looked at the lease agreement and we said, do you know you're not getting paid for iron ore if it comes through and it's not processed? If it wasn't for us speaking up for that, we wouldn't be getting paid for iron that's just shipped to the city. And it went on to go on to the conditional use permit conditions as well. There's a lot of things that got in. I tell you what, if you go to our website, clearpillar.com, you can look at the whole conditional use permit hearing. And you can see the things that we talked about and the things that got put into the conditional use permit, and that'll convince you right there that if there's anybody that speaks up for the people, it's us.
Yet all these things got in or negotiated in and things like that. Yet four of the council members voted against it.
Not all of them. There was a lot of questions that didn't get answered. And if I had my way, there'd be a lot more conditions on it. But your point is that it was a split vote, 4-4, and not all the council members voted for it. And I think that's the reason why, because
you wanted more things, or they wanted more things in the conditional use permit that were not put in there.
Absolutely, yes. I liken it to, we like to use analogies in this situation, and putting this industry in our backyard is like getting a pet in your home. You can get a little kitten, or you can have a big male bull. Well, we got a big male bull in our living room, and we have to put all sorts of conditions around it to make sure that it doesn't break things and it doesn't mess things up. So it's a big, smelly, dirty thing.
Well, What else would you have? What other restrictions would you have on this facility? Yeah, I mean, because if I go through this, there's a lot of on there, and I'm sure there's more. But there's a big berm around it. There's a decorative fence. There's lighting. There's noise. There's
several things. Now, everybody talks about how great the Alberici presentation was. Bob Niemeyer is a good speaker, and above all, he's a good salesperson. He talked about all the good things about the project. He purposely avoided, I won't say ignored, he avoided the things that are bad. For instance, the retention and settlement ponds. Those are things that are there to catch all the stuff so that it doesn't get into our water systems.
Runoff.
So, yeah, runoff and things like that. I don't think anything got into the permits about making sure that those things break. You know, we've got something that happened down in Tennessee just real recently where a whole
making bunch, sure they don't break. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, making sure that the ponds don't break because, one of them's going to be built on like 35 feet of fill. And so it's going to be way up in the air right next to the river. And with floods and things like that, the levee that they build around it could break and get into the water systems. We talked about noise pollution. Well, noise is a very vague thing, but this particular type of furnace has a squeal or a whine or a hum to it, and we wanted to find out exactly some more details about it because a beeping busy signal on a phone is 80 decibels, and that's the conditions that they put on it was 80 decibels. Well, how would you like to have a beeping phone next to your house all day long, 24/7?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. These things might have a whine that we don't know anything about.
Hmm. Okay. Let me put it to you another way. Okay. That's legitimate. The question and the pollution and all that other kind of stuff you're talking about. In my mind, you're talking about iron ore, which is very heavy. It's not like lead. You're not dealing with that kind of a deal. It's not hazardous. In fact, you know, we need a certain amount of iron in our bodies. I mean, so it's not, you know, so. I'm trying to figure out what is the is it the coke that needs to be mixed with the iron ore that is more of a pollutant?
It's a combination of that.
Okay. I mean, because I literally don't know. I'm not trying to like set you up here.
Well,
I literally don't know.
And I won't propose to be an expert, but I've been consumed by this for about 18 months.
Sure.
But from my understanding, iron ore has all sorts of things in it that aren't just pure iron. And the coke or the coal, whatever it is, has things in it that aren't pure coke or pure carbon. And when you mix them together and heat them up, it's all the byproducts that we have to deal with. And that's the pollution.
Which they claim there's a market for, the byproducts or all that
some other. Some of it. Some of it they have to deal with. And that's why the retention and settlement ponds are there, because that stuff runs into there and it settles and they have to eventually clean it up or let it settle to the bottom and seep into the system.
All right. C4 has been connected with Tom Kerr and that sand mine that he purchased because he has, at the very minimum, contributed to your organization. Is that correct?
Very little. Very little. He's in the bottom 2% of the people in terms of monetary money that have given.
All right. Well,
system.
Maybe we should let me ask that question. How closely is C4 aligned with Tom Kerr? Now, because C4 is concerned about this industry coming into town, Tom Kerr, this industry would conflict with some of his plans, apparently to build an athletic complex or whatever.
Yeah.
So you have C4 and you have Tom Kerr, and you have a common enemy, for lack of a better term. But you don't claim to speak for Tom Kerr or anything like that, right?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because if there's one thing about the David Kozol interview that really burned me, it was his implication that there was somebody behind all this. And I think his words were, I don't understand the motivation. Why are they so adamant about this? And it's because that we want something for our city that's different than what was shoved down our throats. And we've had to stand in the way every step that we could, just so we could get our voices heard. And there, so yeah, your point is, there's a bunch of very dedicated people. I mean, very dedicated people. They're just average citizens that don't make a lot of money, that are putting their hard time and their money into this organization to make sure that our voices are heard.
So if Tom Kerr decided not to build the athletic complex or to start mining sand or something like that, that really has nothing to do with you or C4 or anything else. And if that project was, if you felt that project had a negative impact on the city, you'd be doing the same thing with that, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, I just want to make a distinction there, okay?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to run out of time here. So someone meets you and says, look, Jack, we're talking jobs, we're talking industry, we're talking activity in the city, we're talking about additional revenue. You know, it's a terrible economy out there. Someone's willing to invest in this land. Why shouldn't I be supporting this? Well, you know, what do you say?
Admittedly, you know, that's the toughest question we got, because it is it's a really tough economy out there, and it's hard to say no to any type of jobs, but you really have to ask at what cost. And we don't want to sell our city down the river for this plan. And the other angle on that whole thing is that this plan, we don't really believe it's going to be any jobs, because the feasibility of this whole thing indicates that the only thing that's going to happen is a barge port, which would be about 6 jobs. It won't be the 1,000 that Jim Kennedy, there might be some out at the mine, about 300 of them, but the 650 that he promises that are here are related to the slurry pipe, and it's related to the electric induction furnace, which we don't think either one of those are a feasible thing.
If he puts in a ton of money and ends up with a port that he offloads rail cars into, you know, he's a businessman. He can go broke if he wants to.
Yeah, and you know, if everything was a perfect world, Jim Kennedy would say, you know, I was just really kidding about all this stuff. I just want to ship my iron through Crystal City. Let's talk. You know, there's probably some place along the river where he can do that, and Tom Kirk and his do his thing, but we've got all these lawsuits in the way, and it's...
All right, let me ask you a silly question. Why would you want to limit the size of the barge port? Wouldn't a bigger barge that more companies can use be a good thing?
If it was done in the right place, in the right way. I mean, that's one of the things that we had, too, is you know, there's 2 staging areas for the barge port, and Dave Kozol made fun of that, saying it was secret. Well, we don't know if it's secret or not. It's somewhere along the river, and there's people that like to use that river. And somebody's got an idea of where those places are. So, you know, you just need to talk to the people. You need to get the people involved instead of doing everything behind their back and just saying, this is the way we're going to do it. And people are going to have a chance to speak up this April 7th, this Tuesday, a week from Tuesday. And I've said all along, if I believe that the people in Crystal City were behind this project, that they want an iron ore smelter in Crystal City, I'd put down my knife and walk away. They can have it.
If a majority of the council members were against this project, do you think it would fail? Do you think it could be stopped?
That's a tough question. I mean, there's all sorts of legal stuff that have to be undone, but biggest of which is our lawsuit, the C4 lawsuit that we started 18 months ago. So if that goes through and we're successful, that's a big step. But the people and their voice in this is a big step as too. The power of public opinion definitely will make an effect of the future of Crystal City.
This is Jack Ginever. And Jack, again, that website where people can find out more information about you and your organization, or primarily your organization?
ClearPillar.com, clearpillaronemore.com. And thanks, Matt. I appreciate having me on the air.
You're listening to Straight Talk 1400.